Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so that we might truly give you thanks in your name. Amen. So, every day this week, when I came into my office, on my desk was a gift. Now, the gifts came usually with a card, and the card, well, and I really, really appreciate that, but it's a card that just thanks me for my ministry and how important that is, and that's really, really important with me, for me. And along with the cards came a gift. Sometimes it was a gift card for a neighborhood restaurant. Other times it was treats like Kit Kat bars and a bunch of different chips. And the best, maybe the worst, was a package of Oreos. You know how much I love Oreos, but I just don't need any more Oreos. So thank you. But see, that's a problem. Who do I say thank you to? Because none of the cards were signed. So I guess this morning I can give you a blanket thank you. I really do appreciate all of that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Which brings up our question for today. How do you say thank you to another person? And when you use those words, thank you, do we really, truly mean it? And like I said to the kid, what does it take to mean saying thank you? Well, obviously, this is a connection with our gospel text. Text often used at Thanksgiving, 10 lepers cleansed, one that comes back. But we'll get to that lesson shortly. But what does it take to say thank you to another person and truly meaning it? Well, first, the recipient needs to put some thought and to be aware of the cost of that gift. And I'm not talking the giver taking out their wallet and their credit card, but first being aware of what was the mental cost of the giver. And what I mean by that is how much time did they take thinking about you and thinking about what might be the right gift for you? Did the person go through Walmart's and, for example, say at the checkout line, oh, Dad's birthday was yesterday and I forgot to give him a present. Oh, look, there's gift cards here. I'll get him a $5 gift card for Subway. He likes Subway, I think. Or was it a little bit more than that? Did they put in some real thought as to what you want? Now, some of you are really, really good at that. You are professional shoppers. You just know what the right gift is for every person. Second, it's being aware of the time that they took to get that right gift. The time that it took for them to go through the stores, to look around for various things, or go and take that time and find the right gift. Although nowadays most people shop online, so I guess that blows that analogy. But when you receive that gift, and if you truly consider the cost, meaning all that that person went through to give you the gift, then I think we can sincerely say thank you. And that leads us into our gospel text. Let's look at it. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus. One comes and returns. The first part of it is the 12th verse saying, 10 men who were lepers met Jesus. Now, it's important to understand that the word leper in Scripture covers a wide range of skin disorders. It doesn't mean that the 10 lepers had what is commonly known as Hansen disease. By the way, Hansen, his first name is Gerhard Hansen. I just thought I'd throw that in. Hansen's disease is the terrible disease that we think of about leprosy, about their skin rotting and falling off. But in the Bible, leprosy can cover a range of things, from that to ringworm to psoriasis. Now, some of those diseases are very contagious. Others are less so. Some are curable. Some are not. However, when a person of Jesus' time was diagnosed by the priest of having leprosy, that was a death sentence. They were cut off, banished from all of their family, their community. They were sent to live by themselves with other lepers apart from everybody else. Let me try to give you an example of what that might be like. Say that you were given a diagnosis of cancer, and I know many of you have had that or have that right now. But you know, many, many years ago, cancer was thought of as a death sentence. Well, say that you were diagnosed with that, and then the doctors and everyone said, you've got to get out of here. You've got to go away from everybody else, leave all of your family. Or say it's a member of your family who now is banished. Well, how would that be? How would that feel like, being cut off from all of your loved ones? Well, that's a little idea of what the ten went through. Now, the next important section is verse 13. And the ten lepers shout, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Well, there's three things from that lesson, from that verse. First of all, they cry, Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was a prophet of God. Now, how they knew that, we don't really know. Maybe Jesus had passed by. Maybe the family from their distance told them that this was a healer, a man of God. We don't know that. But they knew who Jesus was. Secondly, they call him Master. It's a declaration of respect. The ten know that this man, Jesus, could give them the gift of healing, that he is a man of God. And so they give him that proper respect, Master. And finally, have mercy on us. Their cry for mercy is far more than asking Jesus to have pity on them. It's again looking at the Master having the power to be healed. And they sought that healing from the Master. As we know, the 10 lepers were cleansed. But the emphasis here is far more than just a healing physically. It's also a restoration back to the family. And you can think of that wonderful, lovely greeting as they're welcomed in the arms of their loved ones. So the power is physical, but it's also social. But now comes the most difficult passage to rest with, and it's 17. Jesus asked, weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Why was this foreigner the only one who came back to thank God? And what happened with the other 9? Did they realize that they were healed? Well, yes. Did they get preoccupied by their own things, getting back to their family? Yes. But did they truly understand and appreciate the gift that they have? They walked away with no return to give thanks, to understand the cost of that miracle. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor during World War II, and he wrote a wonderful book called The Cost of Discipleship, and thank you, Dick, for reminding me of that this week. But in it, he talks about cheap grace and costly grace. And just shortly, cheap grace is receiving the forgiveness of God. It is being filled with the love and the acceptance of God, yet you don't fully understand or dwell on why we received the gift. It's as if someone were coming from the Lord's table. They have just received that tangible evidence, the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. They have that sense and that knowledge of forgiveness, and they leave here and they say, thank you, Lord. But they go out into the world with no desire to change their life, no desire to follow Christ in deed instead of just word. Now, costly grace is also receiving that forgiveness of God. It's being filled with His love and acceptance. But you dwell on the cost of that grace, the life and the death of Jesus our Lord. And again, it's like coming from the table, receiving that tangible gift of forgiveness from Christ. And you walk out of here and you say, thank you, Lord. Now help me, Lord, to live that forgiveness. Help me, Lord, to follow you and to serve you. See, cheap grace is saying thank you without thinking about or counting the cost. Costly grace says thank you But it knows the true price of that grace. It understands that it comes to us through the suffering, the dying of Christ on the cross. Now the miracle today is a small one. But it represents a far greater miracle that the Lord gives us. Because in the end, you and I are the lepers. We are filled with leprosy, which is our own sin, the mark of sin in our bodies. But just as Jesus healed the 10, the Lord goes forth and provides healing for us. He goes to the cross. He suffers and dies. He is raised again. And we are made clean. So, how are you and I going to say thank you? In Jesus' name. Amen.